The King of the Indies podcast is part of the Shining Wizards Podcasting Network.
The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and The Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
What up, though? It's your boy KG, and this is episode 3 of the King of the Indies podcast. Honored to be joined today by our very special guest, flown all the way in on an exclusive chartered flight. Please welcome the founder, president, technological director, and overall mind-blowing CEO of WWN Live, the whole experience, Sal Hamowy.
I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And of course, I am joined as always by the co-founders of the King of the Indies tournament, the people responsible for bringing it back. It's Marcus Mack. It's Gabe Ramirez. And what we're here to do tonight is we're very fortunate to have the man that gave us this platform, that gave us this opportunity to not just entertain the people in the immediate stone's throw vicinity of the WrestleMania event itself, but to also show that event to the world and show this amazing just foundation, a great new stage for independent talent, new talent, to have that light of the world shined upon them to perform what it is they're best at, man. There's a whole crew of new talented people that you have not seen yet. Some of them you have, but most of them you haven't. And you're going to see a mind-blowing show that WrestleMania weekend. And Sal, man, there's so much we have to talk about. You know, I think just real quick, Marcus, would you mind running us off the names that have been entered so far just to bring people up to speed?
Yeah, well, without question, man, the King of Indies tournament, thus far, we have 8 of the 16 competitors announced. The first person we announced is a wildly renowned wrestler. He's been a part of the West Coast indie scene for well over a decade now. He's B-Boy. B-Boy has been announced as the first competitor. Number 2, Vinny Massaro returns. Vinny Massaro also been around the bend quite a few times. Sal, I'm sure you're familiar with Jody Christopherson, the War Pig. He's appeared on WWN shows in the past. Recent tour of China under his belt. He's a phenomenal talent. Jekylls the Freak makes his King of Indies debut. He'll be a part of this, and he's somebody that I think that the world will be very excited to see. The Golden Boy, San Francisco Zone, the San Francisco Treat, Dylan Drake brings his fire flair to the King of Indies tournament. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I believe. Gabe, you want to touch in on a couple of the others that have been announced?
Let me see. Well, obviously, we can discuss Ray Orris. You know, Ray Orris is, again, one of those talents that once you guys see and the tournament's over and the weekend's over, I'm sure people like Sal and everyone who's there are going to be like, good talent, where has he been, and let's give him an opportunity, because one of the things that makes working with you so special is the fact that you guys go out there and do give that unknown talent that break, and then you make them names. And I think that's some of the things that we've been talking about for a while now that is lacking. And I guess we lack it here in the Bay Area, but people like you are obviously an inspiration to what we do. So hopefully, after it's said and done, some of these names are household names. And man, you've named. We also have. Who else do we have?
Don't forget about a man who, in fact, appeared on the very last episode of this podcast, El Mariachi.
How can I forget him? But you know, honestly, I am so tired today.
How tired are you, Gabe?
Well, Sal and I and Shannon, we pretty much covered 3 days of promoting, 3 days of marketing, 3 days of strategic planning, 3 days of what needs to be done to make this a success, just not for King of Indies, for this whole experience. And one thing, you know, everyone should know that in order for us to work together, it's just not King of Indies for us and Sal for him. We're doing this together and we're working. And today, I mean, I know we covered quite a bit. We covered quite a bit. So if I don't remember all 8, mentally right now I'm a little bit dead tired, but the 8 that we have are, you know, Rick Luxury, you know, we did Mariachi, we did Dylan, we did B-Boy, who did Ray Orris. God, who we missed?
Oh, don't forget about Rick Luxury. Was he mentioned already?
Yeah. I'm the one that's tired, bro, not you.
I got people signaling me. Once that happens, my mind goes
blank. That one mean, guys? I'm trying to think. Who was the first one? B-Boy. God, B-Boy's in there twice now, huh? Who are we missing? Someone jump in. My brain's fried, but I think it's all Jody, you know.
We have Jody. We have Vinny. We have B-Boy. We have Rick Luxury. We have Dylan Drake. We have El Mariachi. We have Vinny Massaro. And Ray Orris.
There you go.
And boom. And tonight.
Me and Sal are here, and Kevin's here, and Marcus is here. So, yeah.
That is the summary. Now, tonight we're going to announce another entrant into this legendary tournament. We're going to have them here in studio as well. Now, Sal, if I may, for the viewers at home, for people that aren't aware of the tidal wave of awesomeness presented on the WWN Live website, both through live events and on-demand viewing, what can you just tell the people at home about your platform, so to speak? What's it all about, and et cetera?
Well, we... World Wrestling Network was formed back in 2001, and it started as a streaming platform. Unfortunately, back then, everyone was still on AOL dial-up, so everyone had a 54K connection, and it was kind of a little ahead of its time, so to speak. I'm not trying to put myself over, but we kind of put the cart before the horse, so to speak. So we got into DVD production for a good 7 years or so. We worked exclusively, not exclusively, but we were the exclusive DVD production house for Ring of Honor. And that was during the boom of ROH from 2002 to 2009. And then we split off with my partner Gabe Sapolsky and formed Dragon Gate USA and then eventually Evolve. And right around 2010, we noticed streaming was coming back into the forefront. The technology had kind of gotten where it needed to be for us to do what we had envisioned 9 years prior. So we started working diligently on our own platform, and I called, you know, people that had worked with me years before that were still in the industry. We were actually one of the first Microsoft media providers in Florida back in 2001. So this is before YouTube.
Sure.
It's before Facebook. It's before everything. So, and we've been doing it for a little over 3 years now, almost 4 years. This WrestleMania will be 4 years.
Wow.
We streamed our first event in Atlanta in 2011. And we just recently launched our Roku channel.
Awesome.
We're working on a streaming 24/7 streaming platform, much like WWE Network.
Sure.
Or the New Japan has right now, as well as a free streaming platform. And we'll be expanding to Droid and iOS apps. We'll be doing Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Google TV. We're going to be on every possible platform we can be on because this is where the technology is leading.
Amazing. And right here at the razor's edge where the content meets the technology, you know what I mean? It's literally marked by this line in the table. That's amazing. And the library too, you know what I mean? And it's not just the companies you spoke about, your work with Dragon Gate USA and Evolve, but there's also a great library of other events and types of wrestling related content, not just matches.
Absolutely. There's Shine Wrestling. That's a promotion I'm very proud of. We've been voted Women's Promotion of the Year for the last 3 years by DivaDirt.com and Ringbells. Really excited to be where we're at. But you mentioned these names, these eight names. I'm familiar with a couple of them. I'm familiar with B-Boy and Jody Christofferson. You know, obviously he did our tour of China, and he works with us in FIP down in Florida. And, but the majority of them I've never seen before, let alone, you know, heard of. And to me, that's what kind of gets my blood going. I love seeing new talent. I love being able to kind of, you know, notice that diamond in a rough and work with them. We did that with Davey Richards.
Sure.
We did that with Tyler Black. We did that with John Moxley. We did that with Brody Lee. We did that with Sami Callihan. We did that with Samurai Del Sol. We did that, you know, UHA Nation, AR Fox, Rich Swann, Ricochet, Johnny Gargano. I mean, the names go on and on. And these are all guys that are all main eventers now all over the world. They've worked in front of, you know, 20, 30,000 people in China and in Japan. And, you know, to me, being a promoter, That's what I look for. I'm always looking for the next big, you know, next big breakout star. I'm really excited about the King of Indies.
Oh man, well, we appreciate so much, Gabe, Marcus, and myself, the opportunity to work with you. You know what I mean? We don't just work in the wrestling business. We're fans of the business. We're supporters of the business. And I was watching that first pay per view from Georgia. You know what I mean? Or from Atlanta, whatever that you guys did. You know what I mean? And it's just amazing to have this opportunity. And there's a bunch of names to come that you're going to be pretty familiar with as well, but I'm trying to think, where should I go from here? Well, actually, I have a question for you, Sal, if I may. You mentioned there, just kind of threw it in amongst all these other mind-blowing accolades. You mentioned, on the recent tour of China. So China, of course, one of the, in terms of human concentration, one of the biggest geographically populated areas in the world, an area that is famously difficult for getting to do business. There's another well-known large wrestling entity that has worked diligently for a number of years to gain access to that that land. And here's Sal leading the charge with Evolve into China. Wow. I know it was a long time in the works. How did that all – when did that vision start?
You know what? It's funny you mention that, because that goes back to Atlanta 2011. The owner of the venue that we ran, his name is Vincent Liu, and he's based out of Hong Kong. He developed shopping centers in China. And he put us in contact with a friend of his, Jonathan Wang, with Transnational Services. And Jonathan had a lot of connections helping U.S.-based businesses do business, sure, in China. And he saw our show, and he was just blown away. And he had some contacts there that had done some boxing promotions with Don King down in Fort Lauderdale. And Don King, based in Fort Lauderdale, they did some promotions in China. And, you know, one thing led to another. It didn't happen overnight. We did work diligently for 2 to 3 years until the opportunity, made itself available to us. And then basically within a 6-week period, we had to get everybody's work visas. We had to get everybody confirmed, everybody booked, get all the airline tickets, get 2 rings made by High Spots.
Oh, wow.
You know, we were under such a deadline. High Spots is based out of Charlotte.
Sure.
And, we were hoping we could ship the rings out of Charleston to Beijing. Unfortunately, due to the Panama Canal, the rings wouldn't have gotten there in time. And we were under such a gun that to get the only way they would have made it to China in time for the shows was we physically had to rent a truck. We flew, myself and another individual, Earl Cooter, I'll just say.
Okay,
I
was going to ask about Earl Cooter.
I don't want to be associated with Earl Cooter, but...
But now you are, in the digital age.
In all affair, he's a really great guy, and he's a very good friend of mine.
Earl Cooter. He was in my next question,
believe literally,
it or not.
We flew from Charlotte, or from Tampa to Charlotte, and then rented a truck. They loaded up the rings. Then we drove it in 3 days from Charlotte to Tacoma, Washington.
Wow!
In order for those rings to get to Beijing in time, and so to say that the China tour just happened overnight. No, it didn't happen overnight. But it took about 3 years, and then cross country trip in a budget truck to
right.
make it all happen.
And who would think? You know what I mean? The technology infrastructure is there. You have the wrestling company, all the talent, all the creative, the visas and everything. And then it's like the fucking canal. Yeah, canal. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, you can't. You wouldn't. We couldn't do wrestling shows without wrestling rings. So.
Definitely not. It's been tried only a few times on the big stage. But that was funny. I was going to say my next question actually was I saw some footage on the internet that Earl Cooter had posted of just some of the guys getting off the bus and walking through the local town and interacting with school children and stuff. And there was such like a magical vibe of this amazing show came to town.
It was just such, it's hard to put into words what we all experienced there. It was like you could kind of... I would say 95% of the people we performed in front of never saw a wrestling match.
Right, the art form of wrestling
didn't know what it was. The kids just they treated they looked at these guys like they were monsters from a Godzilla movie or something. I know Jody Christopherson at least. Yeah. Yeah. It was an awesome experience.
Best footage I've seen, and I can't even explain it. But me and Jody, when he came back from there, I called him and we had such a good. And I actually saw Tim Thatcher the day after he came back. And I had just seen that footage, and Tim was laughing his ass off. That footage, if you haven't seen it, you have to get on Facebook or YouTube. You got to find this footage of Jody Christopherson chasing small children through I don't know if it was a school or if
it was like a schoolyard
gazebo.
Jody dragging his gear bag and chasing these kids down, screaming and yelling, and it's the greatest footage you'll ever see.
And Jody Christopherson, not a small individual by any standards, but when you put him against Chinese school children, yes, he does get to superhuman.
Yeah, the reaction was fantastic, and we signed a 5-year contract. We're hoping to do 2 to 3 tours annually.
Wow.
We're hoping to extend the amount of shows that we do while we're there. I have a visa. Okay, thanks. Yeah. You mentioned that like 10 times already. Yes.
I was just typing my passport number today into an airline booking thing. Unrelated, but I digress.
Yeah, you sent me your frequent flyer miles too.
Could you imagine if I chase those kids? Imagine.
Aisle seat vegetarian.
But when we do go back, it works a little different over there. Obviously, everything's very controlled by the government,
sure.
And everything needs approval. And a lot of these shows, the tickets were allocated to the political organizations in there and the people. And a lot of the kids didn't get to go see it. So next time, what we're going to do is actually all the cities that we run, we're going to do like a special show just for the kids in the area.
Awesome.
And so, we're really excited about that. I mean, all the wrestlers that work for us, all the talent, I mean, first and foremost, they have an unbelievable love for the business and for the profession and for the fans. And, just the reaction we got was just phenomenal. You really couldn't put it into words.
Wow, man. Amazing. Just still breaking new ground. Even in 2015 or whatever, there's still new ground to be broken. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? There's still new things under the sun, and Sal and the WWN team is leading the charge. Now, I'm trying to think. This is totally off the cuff, as Gabe said. We just literally walked in here, and now we're recording. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to cover. I'll have a few more questions for Sal, but is there anything high level before we get to our special guest? How about this? What if we talk a little bit about what the whole WWN experience, the whole weekend is like, what can be expected? Let's start right there, and then we'll go to a special announcement. And we're going to move that water, Gabe Ramirez. Would you? There you go. Now, Sal, what can we expect the weekend for the WWN live experience? How does the whole weekend break down?
Well, we start off Thursday night with our first Evolve show. It's not numbered yet. We just did Evolve 36 and 37 in Florida. We may be adding a couple shows in the Northeast prior to
sure.
San Jose. But there will be two Evolve shows. One is Thursday night. The other one is Friday afternoon. And then we go into night one of the King of the Indies, 8 p.m. on Friday night, the 27th. Then we have Kaiju Big Battle
yes.
at 11:55 p.m. And that's always a fun time.
Always a trip. We had a Kaiju Big Battle out for the Gathering of the Juggalos,
okay.
I think the last 2 years in a row. And myself and Gavin Loudspeaker got to do – we did comment. I did guest commentary.
But he's phenomenal.
He's an amazing
really
talent,
is.
Man. And just the whole experience. You know, in other words, it totally blew Juggalo's mind. So if it blows a Juggalo's mind, imagine what could happen to a regular wrestling
yeah,
person.
Yeah, we just did four – we did four Kaiju Big Battle shows in Florida. We did Tampa – Orlando, Gainesville, and Jacksonville, and literally the next day I jumped on the flight to China.
Wow.
So that was the kind of, and we did China for 16 days. So.
And for those that don't know, Kaiju Big Battle is not like anything you've seen before. It's, Kaiju, the giant monsters from Japanese monster movies and stuff like that. So imagine things like a Dusto Bunny, like a giant 8-foot-tall dust bunny made of all the shit that's under your couch and whatever. It's horrifyingly awesome. And when he's getting hit, he's so dusty that there's an obvious visual effect that's very much picked up by your HD cameras.
Yeah, and if he resembles Earl Cluter, that's not a coincidence.
Purely speculation.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, a very fun show, totally unlike anything you've ever seen before, and definitely worth checking out.
Oh, I'm sorry. And they go in, and then we have Saturday. We have Shimmer Women Athletes, which is going to put on a very unique show. It's going to be phenomenal.
Wow.
Just talking to them about that. I think it's safe to say that chicks will be fighting in San Jose. So that's a little bit of a teaser on what to expect. Then we go into the WWN Super Show, Mercury Rising 2015. Nice. And in the past, Mercury Rising was a DG USA branded event. There's visa issues and work issues with, sure, Dragon Gate, so that's kind of put on hiatus for a little bit. But we wanted to continue the Mercury Rising tradition, sure, and we'll be ready to announce a ridiculously incredible main event, hopefully in the next few days. And then we end it with the King of the Indies, the night two, the final of the 16-man tournament.
Amazing. And the thing is, fans can buy tickets on a per-show basis, but I understand there's also special packages available, you know, ringside, where you have the same seat for every show. What are the packages like?
Okay, there's a VIP Platinum package, and that gets you the premium front row seats, like center row, and you'll have that exact same seat for every event. For the Kaiju show, that's a GA,
sure,
event, but you'll be allowed in 10 minutes early to get your seat. There's a gold package, which will guarantee you a second row ticket to every event, and then there's a GA package. All the packages, you end up saving about 15%, and for the platinum and the gold VIP tickets, you'll get a limited edition, really high-end T-shirt that we're going to be printing out for everybody.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I can almost envision, I can almost see it shining in the light, let's just say. Parts of it, elements of it shining in the light. I'll just leave it at that. I'm digressing, as I often am wont to do. Where can people get these tickets, Al?
You can go to WWNLive.com. The link is right there at the top of the page. It says WWN Live Experience 2015.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Tony from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and right now you're listening to the King of Indies with Kevin Gill, Marcus Mack, and Gabe Ramirez. When you're done with this episode, head on over to ShiningWizards.com and check out the show that I'm involved with, The Shining Wizards. It's me, Kevin, Eddie, and Matt, and we take a look at the ongoings of the wrestling world with lots of analysis and opinions and plenty of tomfoolery. Our show is also available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, Geek Life Radio, and of course at our website, ShiningWizards.com. That's The Shining Wizards, where, of course, it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting all of you, when you're done with this podcast, head back on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, where myself and Dave Mega Powers are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, covering everything from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks on the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
You probably have 80 podcasts in your queue that you'll never catch up on, but I bet none of them cover the worlds of professional wrestling and heavy metal music.
That's where Neckbreaker fills the gap. We drink a truckload of beers, interview the best metal bands, and cover the latest pro wrestling headlines, all in one drunken mess of a podcast.
Find our episodes on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, and neckbreaker.net. Be sure to follow our drunk and irrelevant updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast.
If you're listening to the King of the Indies podcast, from one pro wrestling fan and one juggalo to another, I want to welcome you all to the Shining Wizards Network, featuring my show, The Midnight Jury. I'm Mike, and every Friday, my co-host Adam and I will go over a select topic from pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror, all from the 80s and 90s. So join us along with Kevin Gill on the Shining Wizards Network or at our home base at WLWstudios.com.
Now, Gabe, I think you'll agree it's time to talk about... Oh, yeah. Get it in there, brother.
You know, here on the West Coast, the way shows are promoted and done, it's much different from the East Coast. So I know one of the shows is an Evolve Super Show. Can you explain to everybody here on this end what is actually the difference from a regular show being Evolve and then having a Super Show?
It's actually it's a WWN Super Show, not an Evolve Super Show. Okay. Evolve is a brand that we have within the WWN family, okay. Just like Shine and Full Impact Pro and Dragon Gate USA. It's a specific brand. The Super Show is going to be elements of all those brands. So you will have FIP matches on that show. You'll have Shine matches on that show. You'll have obviously you'll have Evolve matches on that show. But we'll also have a special type of attractions that you normally wouldn't see anywhere. So it is, in all essence, a super show.
It's super. It exceeds the boundaries of what something normal. It's not a normal show.
Right.
You will not come to WWN Live Experience any part of that entire weekend. None of it will constitute a boring, run-of-the-mill, something you've seen before. It's all new and all exciting. And Gabe, did you have anything else to add? I'm sorry, did your question get stepped on there?
A lot of times people, when you see Super Show, it's not easy out here. For us, a show is a show. But obviously, when you have the opportunities that that you have under your umbrella, it definitely is a super show. And for me, for us to get the opportunity to watch your content and your brand live, as opposed to watching on YouTube or iPay-per-views, for us for me as a fan, it's going to be great. And then speaking of iPay-per-view, just to confirm, everything we're doing for those 3 days will be an iPay-per-view as well, correct?
Right. Every show, all 7 shows, will be individual internet pay-per-views, and then they'll be uploaded on demand.
Beautiful. And that's awesome, because when you go back to 2001 for King of Indies, we had VHS, and it took a while for the tapes to get out and the artwork to do it and capture and so on. And I don't think 2001 King of Indies got the love it needed, because we never got the tape out in a due diligence. It wasn't out. But word of mouth spoke very, very loud on that. So now I think with the return of King of Indies and working with your team, Sal, I think the opportunity that you are laying in front of us, we're very thankful for. Very thankful. Very thankful. I know the Bay Area, like we've been saying it for a while now, we've been talking about King of Indies for almost 5 months now, I think. And it's time to wake up, guys. What's being done here is at a different level. At a different level. So with that going, we are going to announce number 9 participant, tonight. But we also have a special announcement, that we can go into. It's something that we've been working on for a while, and we can go in either way. I'm excited. It's going to be something that'll take place on day 2 of King of Indies. It'll be a special attraction match. And it's something that we talked about. And like in booking and promoting, you always put stuff on paper and it looks fabulous, but to actually make it happen as a promoter, it takes a lot of work, a lot of phone calls, a lot of irritated things that you're like, why, and so on. But I think as of today, it is official, and I'm very excited to say. And by any means, this is not to overshadow anything we're doing King of Indies. King of Indies itself will shine. But we also do want to make sure that we give fans from everywhere something different. And, and when I explained this to Marcus and Kevin, I said, hey, let's do this. I said, can you get them? And I was like, I don't see why not. so let's do it, And at this time, I'm very honored, proud, nervous, excited, jittery. Something that's for me, it's going to be very special, and I think it's going to be not only a great addition to what we're doing for King of Indies on day 2, but I think it's going to be a huge effect for everything that we do for the 3 days that we're there. So with that being said, the special attraction match that we will be having on day 2 will be Juventud Guerrera.
Be taking on Ricochet.
Ricochet. Okay, so now you have Juventud taking on Ricochet. That match alone, we can easily say, is
is something brand new. It's, you know, everyone likes to throw around, it's never happened. Well, of course, because they'll wrestle next week. But we're talking about a real match right now, right, that has never happened, correct? And I don't think if it wasn't for this WrestleMania weekend, for this live experience, it probably wouldn't have happened, right? So now we have Juventud Guerrera, Ricochet. What can we do to up it one more level? And as of 5 o'clock, I think, was it when we got the call? Mm-hmm. 5 o'clock, we like to announce making his return to the United States after a hiatus of not wrestling in this area. A person who is very, he's very picky on where he wants to work, where he wants to be. This man has done it all, per se. He's wrestled everywhere. He's had, at one point, has held every possible belt on his body. If that doesn't tell you who he is, at this point in time, I am ecstatic to announce. I'm getting goosebumps. Look at this. Wow. Cameraman. Wow. Juventud Guerrera versus Ricochet versus the return of Ultimo Dragon. And I can't tell you how excited I am and thankful to Gary, Gary Jackson, for taking all my texts at weird hours and my calls and everything. I appreciate everything you did. And I'm very happy to have him as part of day two. I'm very excited to add him to the experience that we're all going to have. I know Ricochet is one of your top guys by far.
Yeah, he's been the, you know, one of the faces of WWN. And it's amazing. Like I talked about, you know, working with young talent. You know, we started working with him in 2009, and, you know, being that skinny little kid from Paducah, Kentucky, to where he's at now, he's an international superstar.
Correct.
He won the King, the Super Juniors tournament. He's the first non-Japanese wrestler to win the Open the Dream Gate title, the top belt in Dragon Gate Japan. Just what a phenomenal athlete, and it's watching athletes like that fulfill their potential and take it to the next level and break all these boundaries. What, you know, to me is special about what we all do.
How do you see Ultimo Dragon raise? Do you think it raises the bar?
It's amazing. There's so many. There's so many ways to look at this match. I mean, really, Dragon Gate was formed by Ultimo Dragon. I mean, he started the Torimon group in Mexico, and it kind of, you know, he's the one who perfected and originated the Dragon Gate style.
Correct.
And, you know, Ricochet made his name in Dragon Gate USA and Dragon Gate Japan. So
working that style.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's perfected that style. So It's the generations between those two that I find just completely incredible about this match. I just want, you know, I wish it was tonight. I just want to watch
and
it.
So did I. And then you add Juventud Guerrera, who has been working just about everywhere as well. I mean, I'm sure him and Ultimo crossed the paths many, many a times in WCW. Many a times. They also, I believe, crossed paths in NWE, correct?
Yeah, I think those are probably the last matches that those two had. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be on those tours with those guys and travel the roads and towns with them and to, if not hold the microphone every night, to bring them out to work with each other or to referee them against one another. And it was, this was, you know, going on now 2008, so about seven years ago or so. And, you know, they were doing their thing 10 years prior in WCW, and these guys hadn't missed a step in between that decade. So now here we are 7 years later, and they're going to touch again for the first time in a long time. And I think that, you know, there's certain wrestlers that have, you know, Flair Steamboat. There's,
sure,
Hogan Piper, whatever, you,
right,
know, however you look at it, there's elements of wrestlers when they come together, they create magic. And I think that any time that Ultimo Dragon and Juventud Guerrera come together, you get something very magical. And to throw Ricochet into that mix, into that pot, I wish the match was right now. Never mind tonight. I want to watch it right now.
The thing is that what makes it so special that Ricochet plays a part in this match is goes back. Obviously, Ricochet is an international star. We've established that. But we're talking about Juventud Guerrera and Ultimo Dragon, who are at a bigger level.
Do you think that Ricochet can make his name that much bigger in a match of this magnitude?
I think without a doubt, Ricochet is the best at what he does right now. I think nobody does the aerial that he does, but he's a complete package now. He doesn't have to do the aerial. He used to do the triple or the double reverse moonsault or whatever it was called. It was ridiculous to watch. I'd have to stop and rewind and watch it again. And you know, we're editing all this program, and he did it in Chicago for the first time. He teamed with Shima, and I'm like, what did he just do? Like when he did it, everyone just like, wait, what did we just see? But he's so far beyond that now, and he's just such a complete wrestler, and that's just that goes to that goes back to Ultimo Dragon, that goes to what he started in Toriumon, and that goes to what's developed to Dragon Gate. I mean, Ricochet is the extension of Ultimo Dragon. He is a direct descendant of that style. Ricochet wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Ultimo Dragon. So, I mean, I think that's the underlying story of this match. I saw Ultimo. I've seen him wrestle once live. He wrestled Brian Danielson at the New Japan Dojo in Santa Monica right after he left WWE, I believe in 2004. And you know, he was amazing. I mean, you know, granted he was wrestling Brian, but he was amazing. He didn't work, what you would think would be a standard Ultimo Dragon match. He worked a completely different match against Brian, and it was just phenomenal. So I'm super excited about this. So
you know, and again, all of this is made possible from Sal trusting, you know, Kevin Kleinrock and asking, you know, who should, you know, can work with. So again, I know I've thanked you on YouTube and videos. I've thanked Kevin, but I do want to thank you for trusting someone you never met. You were going off with someone who was just telling you this is the guy, and I thank you for that. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I still think I have a long way to go. But I mean, you definitely are an inspiration to all of us and to people out there of where people need to start taking wrestling and what we do. Not as a hobby, but as a business. And I think you guys have not only established that, but I think the same way you're speaking of Ricochet being who he is, because if once for Ultimo Dragon, I think maybe 10 years from now, hopefully we can say, you know what, we got there because someone like Sal, you know, inspired us, you know. And I do want to thank you for that. And Kevin Kleinrock, Kevin said, hey, it's all mine. And Kevin said, no, you know, you're the guy. So I do thank you. And we've been doing business now through phone calls and texts and Facebook and so on. And today we finally met and we killed it. You know, we gelled. And for me, it's very exciting. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you trusting my choices and who to work with to make this a possibility. You know, I think the title you have of as far as being an experience is just an understatement. I mean, we're literally talking about talent who were unknowns, who are now international superstars, and then we're throwing King of Indies, who were in the same boat, who were trying to make, who are virtual unknowns to the world, who have the ability, who can possibly, maybe, you know, at the next WrestleMania, when you do your next live experience, who's to say that two or three or four, or not more, of this King of Indies participants are not going to be part of that. And for me, just the opportunity of that, it's fantastic.
Well, I really appreciate the kind words, and I really do. And you know, it's my pleasure to be working with, you know, professionals. This is such a shady business on so many different levels that it's difficult. You know, it's difficult to find the right people to work with that take it seriously and treat it like a business. And you know, these guys are out there literally putting their lives on the line. I mean, A.R. Fox this past weekend in Florida, you know, had a concussion and broke, you know, broke a few of his teeth. It's you know, what they go out there and they put their lives on the line, and I just, it's important to give them the platform to develop and get better. And you know, this is you know, what we do is you know, you know, the territories are gone. They're never coming back. And I grew up, you know, watching Georgia Championship Wrestling up in Cleveland, you know, when we first got cable, and then seeing World Class and seeing all what it used to be like, you know, with Mid-South and all that. And I just fell in love with that. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the generation of wrestlers that are coming up don't have that opportunity. So it's important to remember where you came from. And, you know, we talked about the generations between Ricochet and Ultimo and the lineage. Right. You know, you talk lineage, everything came from the King of Indies. I posted that when we first announced it. Everything came from the King of Indies because, you know, back in 2001, you know, after ECW went out of business, there was a, you know, RF Video, which was their main distributor, was looking for something to replace it with.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, this King of Indies tape from this little company in California sold like 500 units, and all of a sudden a light bulb came off in Gabe's head, Gabe Sapolsky, and he's like, you know, we could really make
this
really
is a wrestling
incredible company based around these guys, and everything came from there. So, you know, to be part of bringing it back. You know, WWN was a direct result of working with companies like Ring of Honor and CZW early on, and I actually, you know, had the pleasure of speaking with Roland Alexander when I was launching WWN. So, you know, it's paying respect to where everything came from and recognizing it. I don't think it's given the proper recognition over the past. You know, over the past 14 years. But, you know, that's all about the change, and I'm really happy to be part of it, and I'm really excited about, you know, giving the being a small part of allowing the platform to be there for these.
We appreciate you, man, and you talked about cable and that experience you have with cable and kind of opening your mind and getting you all excited about wrestling. We are right now at the crossroads streaming and things like the WWN live website, all that content, that is the new jump off. That is the new cable boom, so to speak. There's a whole new world out there. You know what I mean? And it's all, I don't know. It's an exciting thing. And touch on it real quick. What Gabe had said, it's interesting how like-minded individuals or people with a similar thought process can come together, all, you know, from different backgrounds and whatever. And Gabe reaching out to Marcus and I to be a part of this. And, you know, he's walking us through like, oh, well, it's us. It's WWN Live. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, like, so this just sounds totally awesome. Like all like upper echelon representatives of their industry, the best at what they do. You know what I mean? It's not just the people in the ring that are schooling it. There's also people behind the scenes that are schooling it. So, you know, we've been talking about you a lot on these podcasts. So we do, you know, just to give you, same as Gabe, to give you that respect and thank you for the opportunity to showcase wrestling. You know what I mean? That's the name of the game. So I know that we are running out of time here, but we have a very, very important, thing, which we're going to get to. But hey, Sal, it's been great to have you here. I don't want you to go anywhere. Marcus and Gabe, if it's all right with you guys, you guys might want to step on over to our exclusive lounge area to enjoy the cheese plate, or perhaps the Chardonnay is fantastic, guys. Yeah, they have a sushi a la carte on demand. They can do any kind of rolls.
Some juicy sushi?
Yeah, anything you need, brother.
Juicy sushi.
So at this time, I've cleared the table here and cleared the room a little bit so that we can bring in our special guest. We've been announcing new participants on the King of the Indies tournament, not just here, not just on the Shining Wizards Podcast Network, not just on WrestleView and Pro Wrestling Torch, PW Insider, the VOC Nation's Pandemonium, the list goes on and on, but we've been dropping flavor here weekly and in video, well, by whatever, frequently, occasionally we drop some video content, and today I'm really excited and it's great to have you here for this announcement. It's very, very, very rare in wrestling to talk about someone who has an Olympic wrestler or... Fuck, and we're live. Hey, someone who represented Guam in the 2004 Olympics, which is a huge accomplishment, any Olympic, just the sacrifices, the training,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's mind blowing. And, you know, he may be new to a lot of people, but you've also been reading his name in the entertainment sheets a lot lately. I have read several headlines relating to this man in the last, I don't know, 48 hours. And he's someone who's wrestled, you know, got his start in Hawaii. He came over to the mainland, so to speak, to get the jump off again. And it gives me great pride to introduce as the ninth participant in the 2015 King of the Indies is a man that the first time I saw him wrestle wildly impressed me in the ring. Feats of strength. Now, I've seen Michael Elgin and people of that ilk wrestle on a regular basis. I didn't think anyone could top or potentially reach the same heights of Elgin in terms of raw strength or whatever. But I think on that tip, let's introduce to the world right now the ninth entrant in the 2015 King of the Indies. We call him Mr. Athletic. It's Jeff Cobb. Come on in here, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations, man.
Congratulations.
It's awesome that you happen to be here as well, so you were able to jump right in for the...
I live down the road, so...
Now, so what's that like, man? Walk me through this backstory, right? Because you represent the Olympics for Guam, but then I know of your background from Hawaii. What's the backstory, my man?
Well, not really much backstory. I've just been a lifelong wrestling fan since I was a kid. Never got NWA or WCW. I watched more WWF at the time growing up, so fell in love with it and had all the toys and all the LJN figures and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, and then I've always wanted to do it, and I thought amateur wrestling would get me to it.
Sure.
And yeah, I guess I'm here now. So,
and then and I know, so you started your wrestling training in on the islands of Hawaii or whatever, but then you came over here to the Bay Area, San Francisco, to wrestle on a few shows. Was that your first time coming over to the States?
Yeah, my first was actually through APW. They opened the doors to the mainland, as they say, Young Lions Cup, we did a Pacific Challenge where I wrestled Timothy Thatcher, and Roland loved it. So that got me going to get in touch with Oliver John, and I moved up here to train with him. And I'm here now and being honored to be part of the King of Indies, so I'm excited.
We could pass this one back and forth. I'm sorry. We are one mic short. So now, and let's just take a step back, right? So the word sacrifice gets thrown around a lot. The word commitment is something that people use almost without commitment. And training, what was the, you know, you're amateur, obviously. You're doing this through high school, through the collegiate level as well. How different was it preparing for Olympic competition as compared to collegiate or high school athletic sports?
The Olympic training was really tough. I got to travel. I mean, I got to go to a lot of new places, see a lot of things, meet a lot of cool people, and just training is ridiculous. I went to a month here, a month here, a month here, and it's just camp after camp after camp, and no real time for social life, if you say. But
eating and training with a little bit of sleep thrown.
Yeah, like the rest of the time, I'm usually like on the couch, recuperating or.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was just, anytime you have a question, my man, please feel free. This is our mic.
Yeah, I just wanted to make an observation. I had the pleasure of meeting Jeff earlier when he got here. And the first thing that occurred to me after talking to him, I said, this is the kind of guy that would have been, you know, the classic journeyman. You know, he was probably born 50 years too late. I mean, a guy like that, you know, with the Olympic pedigree, you know, he would have done, you know, a couple years in Hawaii and been a huge star, and then Roy Shire would have brought him here to the Bay Area, and he would have been a huge star, and then maybe Eddie Graham would have, you know, had him come down to Florida. And I think that's kind of what's missing, for a lot of the guys now. It's the limited exposure, unfortunately, the way things are now with the territories not being here, and they're never coming back. But I think with what we're doing now, with the King of Indies and with the WWN Live experience and WWN as a whole is hopefully being able to centralize all these different promotions under the WWN .com banner, WWNLive.com banner, and give these guys the exposure that they need and to get on the radar and to really you know, develop into the stars of what, you know, of tomorrow.
That's what's up. I'm sorry, we're playing the game of guess who's going to pass the mic or whatever. But yeah, very wise words, man. And I do believe, mark my words, and you as well. I think when you witness Jeff in action, in person, or streaming live on WWN Live or whatever, I think a lot of people are going to be impressed, man. I'm not blowing smoke. This is something I've told Jeff privately as well, so this is not a an awkward public revelation. But just explosive power and quickness and stuff. I don't think you would necessarily all the power you would expect, but a lot of the quickness and finesse that may not be as common in such a large individual. You know what I mean? Now, the King of the Indies tournament is something that was we've talked about. A lot of people have drawn influence and inspiration from it. I'm curious, what was your first exposure to the King of the Indies tournament, the original, you know, and seeing Vinnie Massaro and Brian Kendrick and American Dragon and all these people? What were your thoughts the first time you saw the King of the Indies 2003?
Well, mainly like working with APW, having the opportunity to work in the APW garage and just seeing like all the old, like the old VHS tapes and the newspaper clippings and all that. That's where I first saw the King of Indies, and just seeing like, like when you look back now, it's like a who's who of professional wrestling. But at that time, they were considered virtual unknowns, or they had a buzz and whatnot. But I mean, it's like Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, like it's ridiculous that it's like a roll call. Like it's a roll call, man. And just having that it's awesome. Just having a place where people can see all this talent in one spot. And you know, I'm very honored to be a part of the reincarnation. 2015 King of Indies coming back, and it's beautiful, man. I mean, I'm very honored to be a part of it.
That's dope, man. Trying to think. Normally, I'm much more fluid with these things. I don't know if it's a lack of caffeine today or what, but what would you say, Jeff, to people that have not had the opportunity to see you wrestle before? What can people expect from a Jeff Cobb match?
Jeez, I really don't know. I mean, you think I. People usually just say, hey, how many suplexes can you throw in a match? I'm like,
unlimited.
Eight? I don't know. I get tired after a while. But, I mean, a lot of suplexes, a lot of ground and pound. I don't really do high flying anymore. I'm getting a little heavy. So, in my youth,
AKA youth. Last month.
No, but, I mean, just basically, it's a throwback to, like, a more of an old school style. I like a lot of old school wrestling, and as Sal said, you know, maybe a little born a little bit too late, but well, you can't go retro. I mean, yeah,
right, exactly. Time has to move on for something to become retro, for it then to be cool again, for it to be born again. And when you look at guys like Timothy Thatcher, who I feel like are starting to break through, and a lot of that, you know, obviously they have the talent, but you guys are giving him a stage to shine on. But there's other, you know, Biff Busick, and there's these other throwback type wrestler, so to speak, that just brings it back to pure wrestling, to real wrestling. And I think that's an exciting thing for everybody, because when you have a pure wrestler, it makes a gimmick wrestler, so to speak, stand out 10,000 times more.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with Gabe Sapolsky, and it's not really a throwback style. If you go back and you look at the older tapes, they weren't having matches like Biff and Timothy have had, right, or Biff and Drew Gulak, or you know, we had James Ray Dean, you know, did the last, not the last set, but the set of Evolve shows in Florida before. It's a completely different style. I mean, by the term evolve, it evolves. Sure. I mean, you have to evolve. You have to constantly change. You have to constantly improve. And that's one of the things that, you know, we looked at Evolve, and we looked at where we were, and, you know, it was a lot of what everyone else was doing, and it got to be, you know, what's fresh one day is cookie cutter the next. Sure. So, you know, and I give all this credit to Gabe Sapolsky, who's in charge of creative. And, you know, he's got his strong points that I may be lacking, and I've got strong points. So we make a really good team. But, you know, he saw this, and you know, Thatcher was a huge part of it. We had him work an FIP show, challenging for the CZW world title against Drew Gulak last year, almost a year ago. And I called Gabe right away, and I go, you got to get online and look at Thatcher. I mean, this guy is ridiculous. And, you know, he's been a home run for us, and nothing but, I mean, I can't say enough good things about him and that style. And, you know, talking to him on the last set of Evolve shows, I'm like, who trained you? And he told us, you know, Oliver John. And then talking earlier, found out that, you know, sure. Oliver, it was very instrumental in Jeff's training. So I'm really excited to see what, you know, how many, you know, hidden gems are out there in this tournament. I really think that we're at the point now where we got to, you know, a lot of people are getting signed by WWE through us, and we're very proud of that. We you know, when we sign talent, it's always under the assumption if WWE is interested in you, don't worry about your contract.
Sure.
It's null and void. Go and make as much money as you possibly can. Live your dream. More power to you. And that attitude has served us really well, because what we do, you know, working with, I mean, believe me, I could work with guys like Johnny Gargano for 20, 30 years, and Ricochets, sure, and Rich Swans, but you always want to see these guys go to the next level and make the real money and live their dream. But, you know, back to Evolve, it's always evolving. You always need new talent. You always need, you know, new blood in. You always need, you know, to make those new matches and push things to the next level. And that's, you know, that's what I'm most excited about with the King of Indies, is I think we're going to see a lot of the future stars of Evolve and hopefully go on making ridiculous money in WWE.
And that's such a great example there. We talk about Timothy Thatcher, and it's a year ago he made his debut on, you know, as on the WWN live channel with FIP. And in other words, we all know the people in this room. Jeff knows, Marcus Mack knows, Gabe knows. Timothy Thatcher's been that good for quite a number of years. Right. But what was missing was the world seeing it. Mm-hmm. And Sal brings the world to you. So that's just an amazing thing, man. I think that we're pretty much out of time here, Sal. I appreciate so much you coming out here. Thanks to Gabe and Marcus as well. Jeff, again, congratulations, brother. We're honored to have you in the tournament this year to be part of King of the Indies, and I hope you make the most of it, brother.
Will do, man.
Awesome. So for everybody here at the King of the Indies tournament, this is your boy KG. You guys coming in? You want to not come in? I see Marcus Mack making a move. Marcus Mack, get on in here, daddy. Gabe Ramirez, you get out here right now, brother. They're not even supposed to be here right now. But this is your boy KG signing off for the King of the Indies podcast on the Shining Wizards Podcasting Network. Of course, check me out every week on the Kevin Gill Show. Marcus Mack, of course, with All Pro Wrestling. Gabe Ramirez with Pro Wrestling Revolution, Sal on WWN Live, and that's how it's going down. Get your tickets now on WWNLive.com, and don't miss out on the single most wrestling dense, and that's a good thing, experience that you will find anywhere within 100 miles of WrestleMania come that fateful weekend in March. Peace out. We'll see you next time at ringside, brother.